This is Live from the Table, recorded at the world-famous Comedy Cellar, coming at you on Sirius XM 99 Raw Dog. And on the Laugh Button Podcast Network, Dan Natterman here. Noam Dorman is not here. He's the owner of the Comedy Cellar, and usually he is the host or the co-host with me, but he is in Greece, and he has elected not to Zoom in. It is midnight there, and perhaps he's tired. We don't know, but he's not Zooming in, so it's just me, so we can expect a less politically oriented podcast than usual, but who knows what topics we might discuss. With me, as always, Periel Aschenbrand, the producer, although Noam has some issues with that designation, doesn't feel she's a producer per se, but she is what she is. In any case, welcome, Periel Aschenbrand.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And making her debut on Live from the Table is Ariel Elias, a New York-based comedian who mixes, according to her bio, a unique personal stories with witty, wry observations. She has done warm-up for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel and the New York Times described her as a sly young comic. That was Jason Zinnemann, our friend at the New York Times, who's always writing comedy articles. What does he mean by sly? I know what he means by young. Young would be under 35,
I
think.
Thank you.
In the comedy world. In the world of modeling, that would not be young. But in the world of comedy, that's quite young indeed. But sly, I don't have a handle on what is a sly comic.
That's a great question. I'm not entirely sure, but I assume he meant it in a positive way.
It sounds good. I like that.
Right.
A sly.
I think it means, if I had to guess, and I cannot read Mr. Zinnemann's mind, I don't know if I've ever met him, in fact. I think he means, we don't see you coming.
I think
here's
that
this Ariel Elias. She looks innocent enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's got that disarming smile, and yet she comes on stage and says things you might not expect out of her mouth.
I've got a real sneak attack.
It's a like a Pearl Harbor sort of a comic.
I love that.
Yeah. I'm going to...
I think that's what Jason meant by.
Well, sly is having...
I don't care what the dictionary has to say about sly. I care what Jason Zinnemann meant in this context.
Well, one would imagine that he meant what the dictionary means, given that he's a reporter for the...
But when you're talking about a comic, it's like a sly comic. It's a very specific context.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I assume he means.
I'm a sick girl. I have body dysmorphia, which if you don't know, body dysmorphia is this condition where you are a woman. And so I have that. I have woman. It's weird. My eating disorder spiraled way out of hand the second we locked down. And I wasn't expecting that. I didn't realize how much I needed to see other people to feel good, right? I didn't know how much external validation I needed to feel good. She said into a microphone. Jesus, Ariel, like, think for one second. I found myself trying to remember times where I felt good. There was one time I was sitting on the subway next to a Hasidic man, and they're the curlicue Jews. And I'm Jewish, so everything I'm about to say is fine. They're not allowed to touch women who they're not related to or who they're not married to. And he's sitting next to me, and the train did what the train does. It rocked. And when it rocked, he touched me. And when he touched me, he recoiled away. It's like he felt warmth for the first time and got as far away from me as he possibly could, looked real upset, started praying under his breath in Hebrew. And I knew the prayer. I was like, oh, this dude's just gonna do the Shema next to me. Okay. That's the sexiest I've ever felt. Hands down. Just like, oh, I'm about to violate this man's religion today? Okay. Still got it. Still got it.
Ariel, we've been talking the past, here and there anyway, about social media and stand-up comedy, because really that's where everything is headed. And I just started posting on TikTok recently, and I must say it's slow going. You, I noticed, have about some number of followers, an impressive number, I think.
Oh, gosh. I think it's very modest. Maybe it's a sly following where suddenly it will burst.
I think that might well happen. What is it? Are you up to 10,000?
No. Nowhere am I up to 10,000. I'm around 6,000 on everything.
Well, I'm at about 170 on TikTok.
170,000?
170. unfortunately, not 170,000. Do you find we've been trying to figure out what the trick is, if there is a trick. What videos of yours have you noticed that get the most views?
Front facing videos get much more views for me than stand up.
What do you mean by front facing?
It means you have the camera.
It's a selfie video?
A selfie video, and you're just saying your joke into the camera. Those have been the most successful for me, unfortunately.
But you're doing your act, or you're saying other things?
No, I'll say like a joke. Sometimes it's just like, it's not necessarily a joke from my act. Sometimes it's just a tweet that I am now basically reading. It's all stupid. I hate it so much. And yet it is necessary.
But that's good news, I think. You said unfortunately. And to me, that's good news because this way you can just do it at your leisure. I don't have to worry about I got to get the tape from Liz from the Comedy Cellar. I got to make sure the audience is good that night, the lighting, whatever. This way you do it. It's you control it. So it sounds like good news.
It's that. It's also double the content because you can post you doing the joke on stage and then you can also post again of you saying it into the camera. So you don't have to write as
well,
much.
But don't your followers get outraged and don't they put up a stink?
No, nobody really cares. You're also not really trying to engage your followers. You're trying to engage people who aren't your followers to become your followers, right? So like,
but you also want to keep your followers happy, I guess.
Yeah, but
and keep them on board and keep them on with the Ariel train because they're the ones that are going to hopefully come to see you.
Of course. But people just want content. It doesn't matter necessarily what the content is. Isn't that upsetting?
Well, look, all I know is that no matter what I do, no matter what creative energy I put into a post, it's not going to get more likes than a cute baby or a cat with a voiceover, you know, or cat-like.
Well, maybe you should start doing cat with voiceovers.
Well, maybe I should.
What about the book reading ones? How are they?
They didn't do very well.
No. Those are niche. I do love them, though.
I will do more.
Isn't niche like a big thing on TikTok, though?
Yeah, but you're like intellectual niche, which is not as big on TikTok.
Hashtag intellectual niche.
TikTok, like, there are these weird things like you'll have a dog and everybody will use the same voiceover.
Yeah.
So there's a dog saying, I'm a dog. I identify as a dog. But my mother says, I'm a little baby. And that's I've seen and those get like
God.
That literally makes me want to toss myself out
no,
the window.
Me too.
Have you seen that?
No,
they get millions and millions. I mean, at least if you post something like that and it's a cute dog, you'll probably get at least 10,000 views. And my biggest video got 7,000. My most popular.
Which one was that?
That was one I did in Israel, where it actually took some doing because I had to like. Do it in three parts. First, I posted a picture of Tel Aviv, and I said, here I am in Israel. I'm about to go see a movie. Then I posted the marquee in Tel Aviv of the movie Top Gun Maverick. And I said, I'm going to see Top Gun Maverick in Tel Aviv. There's a long line, which there wasn't, but I said that.
Yeah.
I said, this is a very popular, this sequel is very popular in Israel. Of course, not every sequel is very popular in Israel. Like, for example, and then I showed a picture of the New Testament.
It's a good joke.
Yeah, so, yeah, anyway.
That is a good joke.
It was a joke that I thought of and said, well, this might work as a video. So, and that got 7,000.
I wonder how that would do if you took Ariel's advice and just said that straight into the...
It might have done better, but I thought
that... You
can
still try it.
Why don't you still try it?
Do it now. Pull out your phone.
Do it right now. But I thought that pictures from Israel would generate some interest because people like to see pictures of different places.
No,
I thought, you know,
care.
Video rather than meet my stupid face in the
But it's
the
not...
Camera.
Okay. You're thinking... I think... The way that you're thinking about this has to change a little bit because it's not about what you think people will like, unfortunately. It's about what you think the algorithm will push forward. And the algorithm is more likely to push forward your face than scenery of Israel.
And by the way, I think the only reason that got a lot of views, I think, is because I hashtagged Israel. And and every other view was Yitzhak. Shapiro liked your video, you know, Shlomo dubbed, and there were some free Palestine comments.
Yeah,
if
you can get people arguing about Palestine and Israel in your comments, you will gain at least 200 followers.
That is hilarious.
Well, there wasn't a lot of arguments. It was just some Palestinian flags and very little arguing going on. But you're saying that the algorithm would favor my face to scenes of whether it be Israel. I'm going to Aruba in a couple of weeks. I was excitedly thinking, who won't the algorithm love a beautiful tropical beach and turquoise waters?
No, they don't care. They just this.
And won't they, and won't viewers want to see interesting things like that rather than seeing the same old me, my face, or a comedian's face telling jokes? But you say you don't think that's the case.
I don't think that's the case. I'm also not like great at it either. Like I'm not great at social
media. You
got to
talk to Eric Newman, and we have.
Okay. And what did he say?
He said
what I'm saying.
No, he didn't say anything. He said, I don't know. He said just
no, that's not what he
that's
said.
That's more or less what he said. No, he said post shit and then who the fuck knows
there
why
is
some
that
shit
too.
Go viral, some shit don't go viral.
Yeah, but absolutely. He also said that it is imperative that you are consistent.
Yes, he said that, but Ariel didn't say that.
Well, I'll get there.
The point
she
is
was going to
is Ariel's analysis of the algorithm does not seem to be in accord with Eric Newman's analysis, which is just,
I think you should go with him then, because he's doing much better at it than I am.
Why do you think that is, Ariel Alive?
If I knew why that was, I would.
Is Eric Newman good looking? Now, you're a young girl. You look at Eric Newman and say, yeah.
I already told you he was good looking.
I want a second opinion.
All right.
How good looking is Eric Newman?
I think he's objectively symmetrical.
Okay, symmetrical, which is usually
which good. Is good.
He's
but,
adorable.
You know,
he's adorable, and he's. You
but
know.
Do you think that's a factor? You think he's good looking enough to is the reason why he's getting a lot of?
No,
I don't know.
No, no.
Do you think that's a big reason or a big?
No,
factor?
I mean it never hurts, but no, I mean there are plenty of guys who aren't objectively good looking who are crushing it on.
I understand
media.
That, but I'm
names,
we have to
names.
Take. We
I can give you names. Stavros Halkias. Am I? Pronouncing
is he the cumtown guy?
Yes, he is the cumtown guy.
I don't know.
Well, look,
that
everybody
is.
That crushes on TikTok does so for different reasons. So for some people, it might be good looks. For some people, it might be content. that people love.
No, it's not a mystery. You're funny. You're smart. You keep doing it consistently, and it'll hit. But
you mean like my stand-up career?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not hitting yet.
Well,
it's been 30 years.
According to
29.
Well, I mean, we've had this argument many times. You know, according to many young comics, you're living the dream of a successful professional comedian. You don't have another job, right?
That's huge.
You're not doing something else in your other time in order to be able to perform stand up. Of course, there are other people who are more successful, making more money. I'm sorry, am I interrupting?
I got a text, and I have to look at it because otherwise I'm paranoid the whole time. Wondering who's that text? Did somebody die? How do I know? I got to check that text.
Well, don't you think if somebody died, you'd be getting like?
Also, what if they did die? What are you going to do about it? How does that?
But if I, well, I'll.
Maybe if somebody's dying and you're the only one who can save them, I understand the need to check.
Yeah, but it's going to be in my mind.
So
what you're saying makes perfect. That's like people who say, why worry about what you can't control? I don't know, but I do a hell of a job of it.
Anyway, do you understand what I'm saying? You're killing
you're
it.
Saying build it and they will come. I'm saying I don't know that this is the case.
But well, she's
especially
also
in the TikTok world.
She's also saying that you're doing better than you think you're doing.
A
it
lot.
Like your perception of yourself is very different from everybody else's perception of you.
He's a really glass half empty kind of guy.
Well,
and you're
that's
missing
sort of my,
out
that's
on
sort of my thing.
Enjoying.
Well, it's tragic, isn't it?
It's a little bit tragic.
Anyway, Ariel Elias. Ariel, I've met Ariel about 2 months ago. Is that who we met?
Yeah, 2 or 3 months ago is when I started working.
And I must say she's a very agreeable young lady.
Oh, thank
you.
Very pleasant.
That's so nice.
Which, I don't know if that's a good thing in this business.
I think it's a good thing in every business.
I mean, she doesn't strike me as somebody that'll walk over your corpse to get ahead.
No, it's why I only have 6,000 followers.
You know, but we certainly wish her the best of luck. Nice people that sometimes do win. By the way, if Noam were here, I wouldn't be having this conversation because he would be getting it. We talk a little bit about Ariel and about social media, but Noam would insist on talking about political stuff.
Well, I would probably be having a fight with him about abortion.
And we'll get to that. You can fight me with
abortion. No, I wouldn't. I'm sure, horrified by what's going on.
But anyway, but more about Ariel. We'll get to what's going on. But I just want to know where Ariel is looking to be in the comedy world. Do you want to be going on the road, spending weekends in towns across the country? Or do you want to be a writer? Or do you want to be a podcast person? I don't know. What you tell me.
I don't know if you
can. And I'll tell you how to get there. and I'll be wrong, but it'll be interesting.
I don't know that you get to choose one anymore. Like, you have to do everything now.
And just see where it... I agree with you, by the way. But if you had to...
What I love being on the road.
Oh, God, I don't get it. Okay, go ahead.
I love a long car trip. I love driving for long distances. I love seeing a new town. I love, like, performing in front of new people.
I just don't understand this mentality, especially for a woman. I mean...
What does that have to do with
it? It just feels like a woman alone in a strange town. It's just...
Well, I'm learning how to perform abortions, so that's part of it. I'm just going from town to town. No, I don't know. I think in a different...
And you're not alone. I mean, you're married. I know you're not bringing your husband with you.
No.
So you're all by yourself, away from your husband.
I'm not always by myself. Sometimes I'm featuring for somebody who needs me to drive. Okay. And sometimes I'm bringing somebody. Sometimes these towns
are not necessarily exciting towns.
But I don't need a town to, like, be exciting. New York is too exciting. You know what I mean? I love a town that has one feature, one attraction, and you go see, or even just like a fun fact.
Okay.
That's all I need.
But by the way, that's good news for you because that's
a lot of the life.
That's what it is, you know?
So I like that. I also like very much want to write for something. Have I written a pilot to get there? No, no, no. But I love a packet. I love a homework assignment. So that's what I'd like.
Well, okay. It sounds to me like whatever you get, because as far as being a comic on the road, that I can't guarantee you'll be a writer. Although I think if you make enough of an effort, you will. But I can guarantee you can be a road comic.
I feel like I am already, I don't know if I would call myself a road comic, but I would say I'm 50% a road comic.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, that's, if you enjoy that, my God, I mean.
Yeah. What do you want?
I went out. I got into this, and we've discussed this in other episodes, but I thought it was going to be like Seinfeld. Like, you do comedy, you get good, you go on The Tonight Show, and they give you a sitcom. That's what I thought, as crazy as that sounds. Because I didn't see all the people that did not happen for. I just saw the five, six, seven, you know, I saw Seinfeld and Tim Allen and Roseanne Barr and all these people. They had their 5 minutes on Letterman, and I said, I think I could do that. And then they got sitcoms, and they got, you know, whatever. But that's what I thought it was, and then it wasn't. So, you know, stand-up I don't love. I never really did.
Really?
No, not really.
Okay. That's hard.
Yeah. And I've, you know, whatever. So, yeah, that's what I thought. But that's what I was hoping for, you know. But
it's not too late.
No, it's not. It's not. But it's late.
It's not that late. Could be prime time.
Well, we'll see. And of course, the whole world has changed because the sitcom, as we know it, it does exist, but not as much. And there's other things that are around, like Netflix and Hulu and this and that. But that have, so there's a lot of content out there. But the network sitcom that, you know, the kind that Seinfeld got and the kind that Roseanne Barr and all that, that doesn't exist anymore. But that's okay. There's other things.
But isn't it in a certain way better than it's ever been because you really have the ability to create
and that's what I'm trying to do, you know.
It is hard though. You have the ability to do it, but you also have all the pressure to do it.
Yeah,
it's like,
and there's a lot of people doing it.
There's so many people doing it, so no longer can you hold like a lot of people's attention.
Right, like, it has to be fast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is, it's
and there's a lot of there's a lot of people out there competing with you.
Yeah.
You know,
but there are also like billions of people that you can reach. which is incredible.
Yeah, you just have to learn Mandarin.
Nui ni hao ma.
Maybe you should start putting Mandarin subtitles.
Oh my gosh, you should.
That's not a bad idea. Thank I don't you. Know who can do that for me.
Nicole?
I'm not fluent, but Google Translate is at our fingertips.
Yeah, but Google Translate, I can't trust Google Translate with my jokes. I mean, jokes are a very, 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 the hardest thing in the world to translate is a joke.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Dante's Inferno is probably up there.
Well, jokes.
That's chock full of jokes.
Jokes though. Rely on, I don't know much about the Inferno, but the jokes rely on, first of all, jokes rely on hearing the intonation along with the joke. But so that makes it hard to begin with. And then there's wordplay, there's subtleties, certain words that just don't hit as hard, don't work as well.
I would venture to bet that you could find somebody.
You probably could, but you'd probably also lose something, even with the best translation.
Yeah, but you're losing something already just by posting it. You know what I mean? Like, just by the very fact that you're taking a joke that was on stage, it was recorded, and now you're putting it into a 30-second clip. Like, you're already losing something.
Are you?
So
are
why
you?
Not lose a little more?
No, it's not. Look, it can't hurt. I'm just saying when you're looking for a translator, I'm not relying on Google Translate to translate something that would require a very, very, very competent translator.
Can I say something? I just thought of something. I think one of the things that Eric does really well on social media is that most of what he posts is crowd work. And
well,
so it's really
relatable.
Let me ask
Ariel Elias. If crowd work, have you found that crowd work works better than regular jokes?
I don't think
In your experience.
I don't think I have a sample size large enough to say. One, I'm not like a crowd work comic. Like, that's not ever my go-to. I really only am good at it when I have like an antagonist. I'm very bad at being like, what do you do? Where are you from? I'll make it funny.
Also, why would you necessarily want to say, what do you do? Where are you from? When so many other people are already doing that.
Yeah,
I don't feel an overwhelming need to say, what do you do? Where are you from?
Well, it's banter.
Unless it's leading me into a joke that I already kind of know I'm going to do.
It can lead you into a joke, or it can lead you into like your style of like crowd work and being funny. I don't think there's anything wrong with asking the same questions. It's like, why would you do a joke about airplanes? It's like, well, but if you have your take on it, your spin on it, like who cares if a million people
I no longer do airplane jokes in Manhattan, but you're absolutely right. And maybe I should,
and
but I
think
don't.
Asking crowd work questions like, where are you from? What do you do? Mm-hmm. Is the same concept
okay,
of like,
all right, fair enough.
But I don't really do that very much unless I'm hosting and like have to and like have to like turn on the charm and charisma and energy. So the times where it happens is usually on accident. And half the time I don't have the tape of it.
Right.
So
that's.
I don't
have. Well, but if you're at the Cellar, you do have the tape because every show is taped here. All you have to do is ask Liz, can I have the tape?
Yes.
See,
so you're saying you don't have a sufficient sample size to.
But I also have only been working here for a few months. I'm definitely not comfortable enough to like do anything other than my set unless I have to during. You know what I mean? Like that's especially like all the advice that I was given about the Cellar is like do your like killer 15 for the first 6 months. Don't deviate. And that'll like drive me crazy. So I'm like mixing it up a little bit, but like I would never just be like, all right, let's take a risk. Where are you guys from? Like I just won't do that here for a while.
Now, Eric, did Eric say crowd work works better or did he say?
No, it's just an observation. I'm just thinking about, you know, watching what he does.
Do you feel the crowd work is more engaging?
I think that watching Eric do crowd work, watching anybody who do crowd work who does it well, and this is what Stavros does too, and I mean, I don't know him. I watch him a lot on social media and he cracks me up, is crowd work. And the banter is really funny and it's also enjoyable to watch comics sort of crack themselves up.
Uh-huh.
And that's something that... And what? You're really quick and you don't really... But you should...
I don't do a lot of crowd work.
Maybe
no.
you should.
I prefer just to do jokes, but...
Maybe you should.
Also, because I don't have like... The problem with crowd work is you don't know... I'm an anxious guy. I'm not...
You know.
Yeah, I know. I'm not...
Check your phone again to see if somebody's died.
Good idea. I'll Google.
I will say one benefit also of crowd work is that you're not burning material.
Yeah,
right, like you have sort of like an
nobody
infinite
did.
Supply.
Nobody's dead.
If you have that,
Did you really just recheck?
I was kidding around.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that's a lot of people do crowd work for that reason, is that you're not burning material.
Right.
And for that reason, I try to write jokes that are topical.
Right.
So that these are jokes that I won't use anyway in 3 months, but I can use them on social media. So this has given me like a motivation to write jokes. Normally, I wouldn't write a topical joke because it's like in 2 months, it's stale.
Right.
But if I can do it on TikTok or Instagram, whatever, then now I'm motivated to write it. The joke that you saw the other night that I did about potheads that are pro-life,
mm-hmm.
is a joke I never would have written if it weren't for TikTok because I just wouldn't put that energy into writing more abortion humor.
What's the joke?
And I posted it on TikTok, and it got like 1,500 views or whatever, you know, and then maybe 1,800 on Instagram. It didn't kill it. The joke is, and this joke has been working on stage, and Ariel, you had mentioned it
yeah,
too,
man.
I don't remember the joke. It's like, you know, I think all the states that make abortion legal, that are like that there's no restrictions on abortion, are probably the same states where there's no restriction on marijuana, because you don't see a lot of pothead pro-lifers, you know, like, hey, man, you remember that 10-year-old that got pregnant by her uncle? It's God's will. So that's the joke.
It's fun because it's also like, I don't see you do so many act outs.
Yeah, that's
so to
funny,
watch you
right?
Do that, it, it's like,
that's funny.
All right.
So why don't you do that front facing?
Yes.
And see
do it again front facing and put captions.
Yeah. Well, I do
not
put captions.
Not the generated ones, like actually make your own.
What's the difference?
So you can like hit the auto generate button and it'll just like auto generate captions for you.
Right, yeah.
But I think what works better because it's more eye catching is you like write out the captions and then have it timed.
Oh, but you know, yeah, I do it auto, but then I manipulate it so that it's timed better.
No, but that's still different. I'll show you after. I'll show you how to do it.
Okay.
I want to throw myself into
it's
traffic.
It's awful. I did not want to do any of it, and then I think I hit a point where I was like, oh, right.
Yeah,
I got you mean it. The captions or just this,
no,
all this
just,
shit in
just
general?
No, just posting anything. I don't scroll anything. Like, I'll post, and then I don't
You post and run.
I post and run. I don't look at anybody else's stuff.
Really? Oh, yeah. That's good.
I don't either, except for this little baby who's so cute. baby Laratica. Oh, my God, you got to see this baby.
The only thing I ever scroll is Reddit, and I'm usually just looking for, like, a fun video to send my sister-in-law because she just had a baby and I know she's up at 2 a.m. That's all I do.
That's so good.
I play a lot of Spider Solitaire instead.
That's good.
Yeah, so this is the baby that I'm currently following on. Hold on a second.
This is insane.
This is good podcasting.
I mean, could you die?
No, I don't. Could not be less interested.
It makes me really uncomfortable, I think. To just
and they have like little songs, like little, she's like, little, you know, music behind her.
We're just like frying dopamine. That's what I just read.
I mean, look at that.
Yeah. I think like babies don't do it for me anyway.
Oh, okay.
Just in general.
I agree. Babies don't do it for me either.
Mm-mm. Okay. But anyway, yeah, I don't look at videos either too much.
I'm going to try to stop doing that then.
But I do wonder why the parents are posting the photo of the baby. Like, is
you
it
wonder why?
Well, it's for attention. But are they trying to make money? Is there money?
Can
their money be generated?
Oh yeah, of course. Make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they got like a million followers.
I made $500 last month.
Really?
Yeah.
From TikTok?
From Facebook.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, how do you do that?
Facebook Reels.
You're kidding.
Mm-mm.
Not Instagram Reels?
No, I don't have enough views on Instagram.
There's something separate.
There's something called Facebook Reels?
Yeah.
Are we turning this podcast into
now
like...
Now, how do you do that? Is it the same thing? You just sort of, you take...
You have to turn on professional mode on your Facebook profile, and then you have to get 100,000 views in 30 days to qualify, and then for every 1,000 views you get after that, you get 40 cents.
I will be done.
Up to, and then it caps.
And you're using the same videos that you use on TikTok?
Yeah, but you have to take the watermark off.
What, the TikTok watermark?
Mm-hmm.
No, so you're using the same... The same videos that you make, you post on Facebook.
Yeah.
I will be doing. How come I've never heard of it? How come Ariel's the first person? We had Eric Newman, TikToker to the stars, or TikToker star, and Zarna, another big TikToker.
Because they're doing well on like TikTok. I'm not. I'm doing better on Facebook.
Yeah, but it sounds to me like if you're making $500 on Facebook, then Zarna, she could make 10,000.
All right, that's rude to me.
No, Zarn is a big TikToker.
Zarn, are you listening?
Right? I mean, Zarn is a big social media presence. Yeah. You've, by your own admission, you've only got 6,000 people on TikTok. So there's nothing against you. I've only got 170. But the fact is, Zarn...
1,000?
All right. The fact is that Zarn has a shit ton. So why isn't she on Facebook? You know,
I don't know. Ask her.
I know, really.
She's not here. But the point is why is this the first time hearing about it?
I don't know. But I really, as the producer, I'm going to really advise you to... We're not going to turn this into like social media 101.
Well, I think it's interesting. And Nicole will back me up on this. Nicole?
Interesting.
She's monotone, by the way. So don't read too much into that.
I have a question for Ariel. Do I have permission to change the subject?
How drastic a change of subject are we talking?
As drastic as possible would be appreciated.
It's it's a turn, but it's on brand.
Well, give me the topic.
I wanted to hear about Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, sure.
The warm up for Mrs. Maisel?
Yeah,
it was a 2-day gig in 2019, or maybe it was 2019.
And then we'll talk about abortion. Okay, go ahead.
There was a couple of days where they were shooting a scene that required like 400 extras. So between takes, they wanted to have a couple of comedians come and like do stand up to keep them. Cause it was, you know, it's like a scene where she's performing for the troops.
Okay.
So
yeah,
they,
I remember that.
So they like wanted to keep the troops like engaged and like still in like a funny laughing.
Wait, what do you mean by the troops?
The
extras that were playing soldiers.
Yes, I did. Okay. I did quotes on.
Well, we can't see. I mean, they can't necessarily see it.
You showed me a TikTok of a baby on a podcast. I think it's okay if I do air quotes.
I described the baby.
I don't think you did describe.
I said, couldn't you just die? That's a description. Go.
Well, she also said extras that were supposed to be.
No,
troops.
But I'm talking about the quotes. We didn't
All right.
Quotes.
Okay. So, so it was that. It was 2 days, in Long Island.
Oh, wow.
At that point, I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever done.
Yeah,
I think it still might be.
It sounds amazing.
It was very neat. And all of the extras were just like, he's like 23-year-old guys dressed in uniform.
Hot.
It's like, well, this is the hottest thing I've ever seen.
And so in between takes, you would do?
Yeah, I would just do however long. That was the hard part is like, I mean, I think with any warm up, really, like they don't tell you how long to do. So it's just somebody being like, okay, go now. And like handing you a microphone. We're like, okay.
And then how do you know how long to do?
Until they say, all right, that's a wrap on the comedian. And then you get off stage.
Well, what if you run out of material? Then crowd work.
That was my fear. But it didn't happen.
Where are you from?
Yeah, exactly.
This was 2019. So we're going back a little. How long have you been doing stand up? 10 years? So
11 years. 11 years. Yeah.
This going back anyway to 2019. Has this led to further warm-up gigs?
No. No, it
hasn't. But it might.
Who knows?
I mean, that's a good, you know, it's a good
I do think
source of revenue is warming up.
I mean, look, like, I would never, like, count myself out for anything. I think I'm, like, qualified and down to do whatever. I do think, like, generally, if you're thinking of, like, a warm-up comedian, my style and energy is probably not the first person that would come to your mind.
So why do they choose you for Maisel?
Because they wanted like a Jewish comedian. Like my stuff is like very Jewish.
What do you do? What's your style like other than sly? Are you dirty?
Not really. I do like some dirty. I try to be as clean as possible.
Why? Is that just you feel more comfortable or it's just like who you are?
I think it's like, I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
Because like I'm trying to do my first album and I want it to be as clean as possible because the revenue is better. Because you can
on radio, on Sirius.
Yeah, you can get played on more stations if you're clean. So I'm trying to have like as clean of an hour as possible.
Okay.
Knowing that it won't all be clean because I'm also doing the road and like people want you to be fucking filthy. Especially at like a casino or whatever. And I think especially when they see women on stage.
Yeah.
They want me to like, it's such a double-edged sword because like on one hand, people are like, women only talk about their pussies.
Yeah.
But then if you don't talk about your pussy, they're like kind of upset.
So interesting.
So I like talk a little bit about my pussy. But only at the end. You have to stick with me through like
45 minutes of totally clean humor. And if you stick around, you'll get a little
bit
of
Wendy Liebman doesn't talk about her pussy, I don't think. I now make of that what you will, but
But maybe she would have a bigger career if she did. I don't know. But
no, I don't think it's a requirement. I think also, like,
do we know any comics that work here at the Salad that do not talk about their pussies that are female comics?
Yes.
Of course.
Judy Gold.
That's correct. Yeah, she talks about her sexuality, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah, but she's not. I mean, she's not.
Rachel Feinstein isn't.
Yeah, Rachel Feinstein is pretty clean. Yeah. Rachel Feinstein is pretty. So does that ruin your theory, or do you?
I don't think it ruins my theory. I think, like, I think at least in the case of Rachel is, like, so charismatic, so good at voices.
So is Ariel Lies.
I don't. Okay, thank you. But I think.
But you don't do voices.
I don't do voices. I'm a bit more like. I can pretty confidently say, and I'm okay with this fact, I am a much better writer than I am a performer. I think that's I think that's a fair assessment.
Well,
which is not to say I'm a bad performer. I'm just a really good writer.
But there's different ways of performing. being a good with voices and dialects is one thing. Mm-hmm. But there might be other things that you do in the performance area. Would you say that Mitch Hedberg was a good performer? Now, here's a guy that didn't do any dialogue.
That was different, though. I don't think Jess talks about her pussy.
But can we stick
Sorry.
To the
well,
topic?
I'm just answering your question.
Your answer was that's a difference. I'm saying that Mitch Hedberg, would you regard him as a good performer? He's a guy that didn't do dialects, that didn't do. He just had that one tone, but it worked for those jokes. So
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I've never really thought about it. Yeah, I don't know one way or the other. How do you define a good performer? Is it somebody that does. The dialects, or it's, I don't know, Woody Allen, was he a good performer? He does one thing, but he does it well, and it works perfectly with his jokes.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I don't know, is David Tell a good performer? I mean, David Tell doesn't do dialects, he doesn't do characters.
No, I don't think you have to do that stuff to be a good performer. I think it's about, like, what's your comfortability on stage?
Yeah, what are you good at? People are good at different things.
But I'm trying to define what being good at performing means.
I think you
I'm
just said that. I think how you just defined it, I agree with, that you're really good at what you do. You perform it very well. Like Woody Allen, he did one thing, but he did it really well. I agree with that.
Okay. I
have to watch Ariel again. I haven't seen her. I see, because I don't want, like you are with TikTok, I am with stand-up, I do my thing, and mm-hmm. I go. So I haven't seen a lot of Ariel Elias. I have to revisit Ariel, and then I will.
We'll have her back.
I'm pretty good.
Well, I know you're killing, and you're working here consistently and getting a lot of spots, so that's a certainty. What's less certain is you say you're more of a writer than a performer.
I said I'm a better writer than I am, I'm better at writing than I am at performing.
But she also
And that may well be, but I want to see for myself.
But okay. She also said that she's not saying that she's not a good performer. She's just a really
good
writer.
I understand that. I got it. Okay. I got that. Yeah. I think the two are so inextricably linked sometimes it's hard to
sure.
separate the two.
Well,
you know, like with Mitch Hedberg and like with David Tell, like if you had anybody else saying those jokes, especially a Tell, I think, anybody else saying those jokes, it wouldn't work.
Yeah, so that's right. But
so does that mean he's a great performer?
Yes, it does.
Yes.
It does.
Okay.
But also, I, as you know, have been writing for, you know, I don't know, 15 years, and I only started performing about 5 years ago. So it was a real jump. So like you're saying, it's inextricably linked. I mean, doing stand-up is very different than writing.
But you were writing memoirs. Now you're writing stand-up jokes.
But I was writing, I mean, it was all humor. I mean, it was funny. Like it was
but
all
stand-up, but within your stand-up act, the two are very tightly linked.
Have you found that since you've started performing, your writing has gotten better?
I just think that the economy of words with performing is so different than writing.
Well, also, in stand-up at least, a joke, a laugh is generally expected every whatever it is, 30 seconds. It's not the case when you're writing a memoir. You can have scenes that are tragic. You can have scenes that are emotional, and then you could throw in something funny. Well, you can't really do that with stand-up. I mean, Chappelle sort of does that, and Hannah Gadsby has done that, so people are doing that. But generally speaking, especially if you want to keep working here at the Comedy Cellar, you better get a joke, you better get a laugh every, you know, whatever it would be, 30 seconds or a minute. I mean, it better be fairly frequent.
I thought it was like every 20 seconds.
There's no rule. I'm just saying it should be pretty frequent. So that would be very, very different than when you were writing your memoir, in which case you could go 10 pages, 20 pages,
but
the whole memoir.
Right, but I'm saying that's not the kind of writer I am. I mean, I was writing... It's funny, like it's meant to
be. Well, I haven't read it because you haven't brought me a copy.
I know, I told you. Yeah. There are two of them, though.
you bring me the one that you feel is the most appealing, would be.
They're both appealing.
Me. I did want to, I think this is an interesting discussion. I know that Nicole is in full accord. Nicole, she's from Binghamton, that's how they are. They're not expressive. Long winters, you know. I think that I wanted to. We were talking about vaginas, and I thought that might be a nice transition into something Macy Gray said recently on Piers Morgan. She said that you know Macy Gray is a little slightly.
Yeah,
before
I remember
your time,
Macy Gray. That girl.
And she's not a good performer. She says.
She never said that.
That's right.
Thank you. She listens.
She said that just because you change your body parts doesn't make you a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Igniting a firestorm. Quite frankly, I didn't know Macy Gray was still out there doing shit, but in any case, she's stirring shit. She said that and on Piers Morgan and got a fair amount of backlash and at the same time a fair amount of support. She got both, obviously. It's a controversial thing to say. So what do we think of that? Well, I know what Periel thinks of that. Periel believes that you're a woman if you identify as such.
I agree with that.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Who cares?
Yeah, like Macy Gray can think whatever she wants. Like, it's fucking ridiculous. It's like, no, gender is not fixed. I mean, it's just, she can think whatever she wants, and that's fine, but she's wrong.
Well, and here's my take on it. It's the same take I've had every time we discuss it, but I think it's worth repeating. We can always get back to talking about, you know, stand-up. But my opinion is that it's the stupidest argument that we can have because words are man-made things. The word woman is something that a human being at some point invented.
Okay.
And we get to assign definitions to words, okay. The moon means the moon because we've decided that's what it means. Moon means the object in space that orbits the Earth because human beings have decided that that's what the moon means. So what does a woman mean? What moon means what we've decided that a woman means. And what have we decided that a woman means? Right now, different people say different things. And I don't think any of them are wrong because the word woman...
Some of them are wrong.
Well, who's wrong?
If you're somebody who believes that in order to be a woman, you must have a vagina and only those with a vagina are women and all those with a vagina are women, then that's wrong.
Or that you also need to have ovaries and a uterus.
Right.
Because there are lots of...
But again, given the fact that we define word, that the definition of a word is nothing more than what human beings decide those definitions are, if a large portion of the English-speaking world defines a woman thusly... Then how are they wrong?
Well,
in other words,
antiquated.
Say 70% of the English-speaking world defines a woman as somebody with XY XX chromosomes and female genitalia.
That's biology, though. That has nothing to do with being
with the concept of a woman.
But correct. The concept of a woman is what we as speakers of the English language have decided that's what a woman is.
Right, but this
and right now it appears that definition, which 100 years ago probably was the definition that you articulated, more or less. Now things are changing, but it's still like. You know, not everybody. I don't think it's that important an argument anyway. I think what's more important is how we treat people.
Well, but it
so
is an important
if somebody
argument.
Has breasts and a penis and wants to be called a woman, fine, I'll call them a woman. But I don't think that's important. I think what's important is how we treat that.
Well, it's not important
to you. It's not important.
Well, I don't think it should be important. I think what should be important is how do I treat you?
Well,
do I treat you with respect and dignity?
Well, not.
And I'll certainly call you a woman if you wish. And as far as I'm concerned, I I think woman when I see you. When I see somebody that presents as a woman, I in my head I'm thinking woman, but I don't think you're wrong if you don't.
Right, but you're not taking into account that if you don't even acknowledge the gender that somebody wants to identify as, it's not important to you. Wait, let me just finish. It's not important to you, but like actual people get killed for that very reason.
Well, I just said that's what's important is how we treat people. Obviously, if you're killing people, that's not treating them very well.
Right, but if you can't acknowledge who they are, then you're not treating them well.
Like, I acknowledge who they are.
Not you. I'm saying one.
All right. Well,
our language is also like designed to evolve.
Yes, right? And it is evolving, but it hasn't completely gotten there yet, and there are people that wouldn't... what about somebody that does not present as a woman? What about somebody that's a man but says, I am a woman, I haven't transitioned yet, but it's somebody that looks like we would imagine a man to look.
But if they tell me I identify as a woman...
But do you, when you see them, do you think yourself woman?
I don't... Every time I see somebody, I don't think, like, woman or, like, man. Like, I don't... I'm not saying I'm like gender blind or whatever. I'm just saying that's not like the most important thing to me about each person that I meet. So like, I don't, if they, if that's something that somebody says to me,
but if somebody, I just say,
you know,
if somebody tells,
woman,
if somebody that presents, if somebody tells me I see a guy that somebody that presents as a man, but identifies as a woman and I feel, and to me, that's a man. I can't say they're being transphobic. I can say that, unless they mistreat this person, if they mistreat them, then they're transphobic. If they don't mistreat them, but they say to me, that to me is a man, I can't say they're wrong.
But isn't not acknowledging, if somebody's telling you they're a woman and somebody else is saying, no, they're presenting as a man, then isn't that not treating them with respect?
Well, if you do it to their face and you upset them, then you're not treating them with respect. But if you're telling me in private, I really consider that individual a man, then I can't say you're wrong.
Well, because you can say that if the person identifies as a woman.
By that definition. But the other people have different definitions.
Okay, but the gender binary is a social construct, right? Like, that was made up.
Every English word is made up. So I'm saying to you, how do we define a woman? Do we define a woman as along physiological lines or along psychological lines? And why is one more valid than the other?
Well, you define, people get to define their own gender. You don't get.
But people don't get to dictate the English language.
But you're not.
Yes, they do. Of course, people.
And I mean, individuals don't. The collective does. The language. If I say the moon is not the moon, I'm wrong. But if everybody starts calling the moon something else, then we have a new word for the moon.
Okay, start here. There's a small child at school that is.
Are you gonna give me a sob story?
No, I'm presenting you with a situation to try and get you to see what I'm articulating here. There's a small child at school in kindergarten who is a biological male, but who has been saying for several years that she is a girl. So, and she used to present as a typical male, traditional male, what you would consider male. And now she dresses like a girl and she has long hair and she wears pink and purple and she changed her name. And so now everybody.
All right. What's your question?
It's like, how does that work with what you're saying? Like
well,
the argument.
What's your question? My response to that would be. I would.
I don't think I had a question. I think I was.
Question. Okay. Anyway, Macy Gray, tour on tour, tickets available.
I think like the crux of the thing is like, I don't think it really matters.
That's what I said. That's
I define. Yeah, but you brought it up for a discussion. But it's so obviously like it like you care a little.
Bit. What matters to me is that I think it's a silly. I think it's just a silly discussion.
Well, I don't think it's a silly discussion necessarily because you're invalidating a very important part of a lot of people who feel very strongly about like their gender and how they present and how they identify. So I don't think it's silly to care about it. I think.
But I don't think saying to them, well, I don't consider you a woman. I consider you a trans woman.
Okay, trans women are women.
By a certain definition.
No, by every definition. Unless you're somebody who is...
Nicole, what do you think?
Please leave me out of it.
Again, Binghamton, that's how they are.
It's funny, though, that you brought this up.
They were neutral in the war.
Are they Switzerland?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Which war?
The war against trans
French,
women.
The French-Indian war. All right. Anyway, I think we have both sides have presented their case, and we'll leave it to the good people, the good listeners of Raw Dog and the Laugh Button Podcast Network to decide with whom they agree.
It's like TikTok. You got to come around to it.
What's like TikTok?
The way that you view gender. You got to evolve.
Well, again, I am fully aware that some people, different people identify as different, but different, you know, that somebody that's biologically male might identify as female. I understand. The question is that a woman or is that a trans woman? And my answer to that is, how do we define these words? And definitions are based on how speakers use language.
Yeah, but that's like saying, like, is that person a woman or is that person a white woman? It's like, it's not either or. Like, white women are women, trans women, you know what I mean? Like, to say, are you a trans woman or are you a woman is transphobic language, right? You're saying that trans women are not women.
Well,
that's the implication.
The implication is that some would define it that way.
How would you define it?
It's really not necessarily up to me to dictate how the English language works, but when I see a woman that presents as a woman, that to me I feel is a woman. But if they present as a man, I probably wouldn't feel like that's a woman.
But can you accept the premise that we are the ones who are individually in charge of deciding what our gender is? It's like how you feel.
Well, if you're telling me that gender is by definition what you identify as, then yes.
Okay.
I don't know that that's the definition of gender. I guess that I got to look that up. You know, if that's what it is, then sure.
I think we've made a lot of strides.
Yeah, we've made a lot of progress.
I don't feel I've made any progress, to be honest with you. I feel I have a similar position as I had 15 minutes ago when we started this discussion.
Who died?
Anybody? No, nobody died. I'm just checking the time.
Oh, okay.
I mean, somebody certainly died.
Somebody
People
somewhere.
Die all the time. So you're doing, Ariel, you mentioned an hour. You said you're going to do an hour, what we call a special. That's the term of art in the comedy. What we call it, a special. And you say you're working on one?
I'm working on an album. I'm trying.
Oh, not a special, an album.
Not a special.
A special.
Very different.
Connotes video.
Right. There will be video. I don't think that that's what I want. Like, I'll have it. I'll have a video, but probably to cut up into clips.
You won't post it on Mike YouTube?
I don't think so. I don't think that's the route. Maybe I'll change my mind. I don't think that's the route that I want to go. No shade on anybody who does. I think it would not necessarily be very beneficial for me. That's all. But yeah, I just started headlining in the last couple of months.
That's awesome. Good for you.
Thank you. It's
go, Ari.
It's very difficult. I have immense amounts of respect for people who do that every weekend. It's a long time to be, but I now featuring feels like running without the weights on, where you're just like, oh, 25 minutes, I can do that. So that's what I'm working on that. And right now it feels like I have 45 minutes of jokes, but I want it to feel like a complete thing.
That's awesome. Good for you.
Like here's who I am kind of thing. So I'm working on that. Here's who I am. And my putsy.
And your main goal in this album is so you have clips for the radio.
Yes. Tracks. Yeah.
Which is a very good source of revenue for comedians.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would like to have some passive income. I feel like for the last 10 years, I was very focused on I want my jokes to be as good as possible. I want to get as good at stand-up as possible. And I am now shifting a little bit towards okay, this is a business. I need to treat this as a business. How do I make money?
And you've discovered that relatively early on, 11 years, which sounds like a long time, really isn't in the world of stand-up necessarily. Mm. And you've made that discovery, it seems to me, pretty early.
I hope so.
And it is, and it is a business. And so are you trying to like get a lot like followers? Like how do you, what are you gunning for? A lot of followers on social media so that you can sell out on the road?
Yeah, whatever form it takes to have my own following, to have people who will come see me so that I don't have to do like awful casinos full of people who hate me. That's.
But who could hate Ariel Elias?
Oh, quite a few people do not enjoy me, which I take as a compliment. I should not be for everybody.
Well, I agree that the great ones never are for everybody.
I love that. That's a good title.
I do agree with that. I know him, by the way. Know him, and we have this argument. Know him really does not agree. Know him thinks a good comic should be able to make everybody laugh, and that the most popular comic is necessarily the best comic. That I think I've encapsulated Noam's view accurately. I don't want, he's not here to defend himself, but I believe that that's roughly what he believes,
okay.
And that's not what I believe.
Yeah, it's like, look, there's nothing wrong with being like pasta with butter. You know what I mean? Like, that's a crowd pleaser. Like, anybody will eat that at any age. But like, I think I'm a little bit more of like an olive tapenade, where it's like, oh, that's salty, and like, maybe I don't want to eat this, and maybe this is my favorite food.
But do you find here at the Comedy Cellar that there are those that don't appreciate you, or this is your crowd, the Comedy Cellar crowd, or not pretty much all the time?
I mean, there's always not always, but like often enough, there's somebody who I'm just like, you don't like me. You know what I mean? Usually a guy, which is fair. In general, I think like Comedy Cellar crowds are smart and like me.
And who have
and
been?
I would like to continue working.
And is there a particular region of the country where, in addition to the Comedy Cellar, where you're comfortable, or you know, like the Northeast in general, or cities, or?
I love a city in the Midwest and South.
I was just going to ask you that. Yeah. Do you like going back to Kentucky and performing?
I like going back to Kentucky. I started stand up in New Orleans.
Oh, wow.
I love that. I'm going there next week, next weekend. I love a college town, which is also like I grew up in a college town. So that feels.
So your father was a professor, right?
Yes. He still is.
Okay.
Of what?
English.
Oh, that's what I studied.
Really? Yeah, he's a professor at Eastern Kentucky University. Yeah, I think the places where I struggle the most are like, I mean, truly, I really struggle at casinos.
Casinos are bad for everybody because they're there for the casino, and oftentimes at a casino, the only reason they're seeing the show is they got comped. The casino says, oh, you gambled X amount of money. We'll give you free tickets to a show. You know, casinos like to give giveaway. So they're not motivated to see comedy. They would just.
But some people still destroy in that. Like, some people will still, like, kill. And I watch that. And it's people who are, like, good comedians. You know, it's not people where I'm just like, that's hack, that's trash. It's people who are, like, very good, who I enjoy. It's just that, like, what I do just doesn't quite.
I have to take another look at Ariel Elias.
I know. I really want
to take another look at her because now my curiosity is piqued because I haven't seen that much of her. Again, I've spoken to her. I haven't seen her on stage. But now we know that she is Olive Tapenade. That just so happens to be.
I'm mad at myself for saying that now.
I just happen to enjoy Olive Tapenade.
Me too.
So you know, it might be my cup of tea.
Sometimes I feel like I have to like apologize for like, hey, I'm so sorry I made you think. On your night out.
No.
I think that's how I feel sometimes.
You should never
feel
that.
Thank you.
It's a good thing.
Yeah. I think I'm like coming
that's
around.
That's a gift.
Yeah. It's that thing of like the more I do it, the more I'm like, okay, I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
I'm just not for everyone.
Well, you're not wrong and they're not wrong.
Right. Exactly.
You know, the audience is not wrong and you're not wrong. You do what you do and you'll please who you please.
Correct.
You know, and I do believe I do think it's true that if you please literally everybody, I'm skeptical that you're doing anything that interesting. I mean, I don't want to say that as a blanket statement, because there might be an exception, but I would be suspicious of anybody that just hammers everywhere, every time, and under every circumstance.
Yeah, I've had a few gigs recently where it's like overall, I would say, like, that did not go great. But there will be, like, usually, like, a younger woman who will come up and be like, I love that so much. There will be, like, two or three where it's like, okay, I'm fine with that then. If yeah, this is, like, really resonating.
That's how I feel, too. Like, when people come up and say that, it's like, you know that you're doing, that maybe, like, you're being true to who you are as a comic, right?
Yes. Yeah. So, like, did I just bomb? Yes, absolutely. But
well, there's validity to that. But, of course, you don't want to bomb too often. And, you know, you
and I mean, I never have at the Cellar.
Okay.
And I never will.
Do we have anything else to discuss? Oh, July 4th. Happy belated July 4th, listeners. Actually, it's sort of, we're almost done anyway. Ariel, what time's your spot? Well, it's only 6:30.
Oh, I don't have a spot tonight.
Oh, you came special for us?
I sure did.
Aww.
I will be darned. Because we usually ask people to come on that have spots anyway.
No.
Okay.
But I'm dog sitting in the city right now, so it was not a trek for me. I'm dog sitting in Midtown.
How was your July 4th?
It was good. I went over to Greg Stone's. We had some White Claws. And
wait, just you went over to Greg Stone?
Me and my husband and a couple other people.
Okay.
And we, very funny comedian, Greg Stone, and we played with his baby. And then I came here and did a spot, and then I went and comforted some very scared dogs.
She's married to a comedian, by the way.
Okay.
Dan Shackey.
Dan Shackey. And
he's the best.
I bring it up because comic, you know, the question comes up. Can two comics stay married without the comedy business getting in the way?
Well, we can definitely get married. I mean, I think it's too early to tell if we'll stay married, but I think so. I think it's going
well. Look, I think the answer is yes, they can.
Great.
Because we've seen evidence of it. We've seen Bonnie and Rich, who've been together, what, 15 years or so? And they seem to be going strong. We've seen Tom Cotter and Carrie Louise, who have been together longer than that, and they seem to be going strong. And perhaps the best example, although they weren't comics per se, but Stiller and Mira.
Sure.
Who were together
mm-hmm.
for decades.
Yeah.
And very much a successful marriage there.
Also, Lucille Ball.
Well, no, they had a horrible marriage. I think it was, first of all, I think they were divorced, and I think there was a lot of turbulence.
They got divorced, Lucy and Ricky?
Okay. Are they one of those couples that got married more than once? Are they like Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera?
Sure, no. And I think you lost me with the Frida Kahlo reference, but...
You never saw the movie Frida?
I never did. That's with Salma Hayek?
Sure is.
By the way, Boogie Nights, speaking of movies, is on Netflix. If you haven't seen it, please do. This is a classic of American cinema. It's from 1997. So our younger listeners might not be familiar with it, but this is a hell of a film. Have you seen it, Aaron?
I have.
And?
Great movie. Very long, but great.
I just saw it, like, today. I turned it on, like, I saw it was on Netflix. I said, I'll watch 10 minutes of it, you know. And next thing you know, the movie is over.
Passes the Bechdel test.
The what test?
The Bechdel test.
You're making me think, Gary. What's the Bechdel
test? You don't know the Bechdel test?
No.
Intellectual. It's a measure. It's a way to measure it's not a perfect system, but it is a way to measure the feminism of a movie. Are there two or more female characters? Do they have names? And is there a scene where they are talking to each other, not about men?
And do they talk about their pussies?
That's mandatory.
And
but
so you say
end.
That Boogie Nights passes the Bechdel test.
Yes.
You have, what are the criteria again? And then we'll wrap it up. But I just want to go through this very quickly.
Two or more female characters.
Well, they certainly have that. There was Heather Graham. There was a Julianne Moore. Mm-hmm. There was...
That's all you need.
Buck Swope's wife.
No, she needs a name.
Both have names.
Well, no, those are the actresses, but they all had names in the movie.
No, I know. Their character has to have a name.
Yeah, well, all they did. Amber Waves. Roller Girl was a name.
Yep. And there has to be a scene where they are talking to each other.
Well, there was the scene where and not about men.
And not about men.
There was a scene where, I don't know if it qualified.
It does. Roller Girl and Julianne Moore, whose name I forget in the movie. Amber Wave are talking to each other, and Roller Girl asks her, "Will you be my mom?" And that scene.
Okay, yes. Yeah, but
They're doing blow, and she says, "Will you be my mom?"
But in that scene, weren't they also talking about Dirk Diggler? Or were they talking about Amber Waves' son? Was that? I think wasn't in that scene. Was that the same scene where Amber Waves is saying, "I miss my son. I miss Dirk Diggler, who's kind of like my son."
Maybe.
In other words, if it's in the same scene,
I don't know.
Does it count for the Bechdel test?
I don't know.
You better.
That's it. What about that word Bechdel?
It's from Alison Bechdel. She's a writer.
Oh. Okay.
I'm wondering if it passes the Bechdel test.
Because you're writing a memoir.
No, I've written.
Written memoirs. Yeah. Have you ever read Fun Home?
No.
By Alison Bechdel. It's her memoir. It's also a graphic novel about growing up in a funeral home. And also finding out that her dad basically was like
a necrophile.
He was secretly gay and may have been having some like inappropriate aged relationships.
Well, I'm wondering just to get quickly back to the Bechdel test. I do have to question your analysis. I'm wondering whether Boogie Nights passes the Bechdel test.
I might be wrong.
I have to rewatch that scene because, again, I wonder if it's in the same scene, even if there's a few lines where they're not talking about men.
A few coke lines where they're not talking about men.
Yeah, exactly. If the scene is, if they're talking about men in the scene, does it count as the Bechdel test? What are you showing me, Peril? Boogie Nights, Bechdel test movie list. Well, this is according to Bechdeltest.com, which I guess is the final authority on the Bechdel test. And it says,
"Do you need your readers?"
I'm enlarging these
just
print.
Pulled it away.
Yes. This is Justin. So, what does it say? Does it?
It
pass
says it passes. It says 3 out of 3.
Okay, but the conversation between Amber Waves and Roller Girl, I guess, is what you were discussing. And that's what it says here on the website.
Look at that.
Anyway, I'll have to look at this more later. Thank you, Ariel Elias. Thank you so much for coming by. Ariel Elias, obviously making moves on TikTok and on Facebook. How can they find you?
My handle on everything is Ariel_comedy. So it's A-R-I-E-L.
Ariel like the mermaid _comedy.
Yep. That's where you can, or you can go to my website, arieleliascomedy.com. And you can
prepare to think, though. I'm warning you. If you're not prepared to think, then stay away from that fucking website.
I feel like such a dick. What an asshole.
But if you like olive tapenade.
I like to make you think. But you can see like tour dates and stuff like that. And watch me try to put together an hour.
Peril Ashenbrand.
Yes.
Is.
At Peril Ashenbrand. That's where I am.
Okay. And you know where I am.
Well, tell them. Maybe they don't.
What if this is their first time listening?
At Dan Natterman, but you can just, you Google around, you'll find me. At Dan Natterman on all the social medias. Podcast@comedyseller.com. Please let us know, for God's sakes, what you want to hear. Did you like this discussion? It was 90% comedy-based. There was some abortion talk, as there must be, as there always is on this show.
We barely talked about it.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I mean transgender talk. So let us know. Or do you like the Noam shows where he takes the reins and goes on and talks about his things? Thank you so much, everybody. We'll see you next time on Live from the Table. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.